Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday morning, May 15th, middle of the month of May 2020, coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. Don't forget, I'll be sitting in for Charlie Evers this morning from 10 a.m. till 12 noon and doing the Exchange Club 12 to 1 today. So I'll be on through 1 p.m. this afternoon. So don't leave us all day today. Now, I think we've got a caller waiting for us on the line. Let's go to the phones. Caller, are you there?
I'm here. I'm still listening to you.
Oh, well, is that a good or bad thing on this Friday?
Well, it's good. It's good. I listen to these people are complaining and so on and so forth. I was listening to the mayor there talking about the pool. And he's talking about gathering issues. Yeah, if you open it, if it's open every day, which, you know, if they're going to open it. Scott, about the only thing I could see might work is the kids, it allows so many, let's put it that way. You can't open it to, like he says, 500. There ain't no way. There ain't no way you can put that many in there and keep halfway safe. The only way I think maybe they might be able to work it and open it and have a little bit of control is have a number of what can get in and give them kids a number that goes in whenever they get to what they would think would be safe. That's all they let in for that day. Now, the next day it come along, them people was in there the day before that, they couldn't go in. Bring the other group in. You know what I'm saying? Every other day, let the people that was been there before. So that might help out a lot. But they're going to have to number them somewhere, and if they ain't got that number, they came back. They come back the very next day. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, and I think it's going to be very difficult. Now, I was told yesterday, and I'm no doctor, and I don't know if this is true or not, that chlorine, which is usually in the water of most of these public pools, does help with killing and stopping the spread of this disease. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But I think the problem, again, is if you are there maybe getting a suntan or just running around, you know, that could transmit it. I don't know. The pool thing's going to be very difficult, and apparently we are going to open the pools, according to our governor.
But Scott, if that's what they're going for, just to lay out of whatever, why go in the pool? I mean, if you go to the pool, you should be going into, you play in the water, whatever. Now, if you're going to the pool just to lay out, they could have a separate place for them people to lay out. They wouldn't need to go in the pool. Well, yeah, I got it. It's going to be difficult to keep them out of the pool, let's put it that way. But you're going to have some kind of guidelines if you're going to try to eliminate the peoples in there. You can't leave it open to the public right on and keep them out. You know, you're going to have a number and how many goes in there and what they're going in for. It's going to be complicated, but if you're going to open, you have to do something.
Well, and obviously there is no way that anybody's going to be able to wear a mask in the pool.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm kind of confused by the whole pool thing, because does this mean that this whole 10 people in a room thing is going to be gone? Because what confuses me is that they've told all these restaurants that when they open, I think, inside on the 25th, that they're only allowed to have so many people and there has to be social distancing. But clearly, that would not apply to a pool as far as social distancing. I don't know how you could possibly do that.
I'm like you. I don't either. You can't do it. You can't do it in the stores. You're supposed to. Let's put it that way. But if I got to go to the store, go close by the store. We know we got to go in the store once in a while, get a few things. And I see the people. I sit there. Of course, the wife usually goes in. She tries. We won't hardly go together. So that's two. But the people that goes in, the majority of them has got masks. But they're just a whole bunch of them that don't. Scott, to get this thing under control, or try to get it under control, we've got to follow the guidelines. And there's so many people that's not. And it's, you know, I don't know. It's not fair to the other people that wears them all the time. But you can't make them wear them. But people's going to have more respect for the other people before they go to get, try to slow the sucker down. Because I'm scared to death about what's going to happen if they don't, and then we get a second wave of this stuff with all these people that are not. There are a lot of people that's trying to take the guidelines, but there are a lot of them that's not.
Well, I saw an article yesterday.
You see me stuttering. I don't know what to say now.
Well, no, I saw an article yesterday where a lot of countries who did reopen things are now having to shut them down again because they reopened them and the cases spread like mad. And there's an article this morning, I don't know how many people still read the USA Today, but that paper is still sold in a lot of stores, and it's online. And the main story in the USA Today this morning is about how people no longer are social distancing, that the numbers that they were doing it in have went way down over the last couple weeks, and people aren't following those guidelines anymore.
Yeah, we've got people out there, Scott. Let's face it. We got people out there. It's not working. Don't intend to work. It's plain and simple out there. People ain't going to work. And they ain't worried about anybody else working. And, Scott, that is, of course, I can't work. I've done it past that point. But I do try to protect myself in whatever else is out there needs to be protected. That's what I'm thinking about the other person. And until we do that, it's not gonna get a whole lot better. And I'm like you. I hate to say that if something would happen that we would have to close the country down again. That would be devastated, Scott. That would be devastated. We were already in a bad enough shape without closing down again.
I know. I don't know what's driving these reopenings. I assume somebody there in Columbus is making these decisions based upon something. So I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's that they feel that people are social distancing, people are wearing the masks, that they have a better idea of how to treat people. Maybe that's it. I don't know, because I can't think that they would open up these places and intentionally put people in harm's way. I can't think they would do that, but I do know that you cannot stay closed forever because your economy will go into such a hole that we'll never dig out.
Well, you're right there. But, Scott, if we don't control this virus somehow, it's going to get a whole lot worse. I mean, it's not, unless they get a cure or get some way to kill it, whatever it is, where it's at, you can't already kill it if you can't see it. But, I don't know. It's going to be devastated if the government would have to shut, or the president would have set it down again, or the governor would have set their state down again. But if they don't take heed and try to control it from going up, we're not gonna get rid of it. And you can't. These people, these doctors, these nurses out front. What would happen if they would have an overflow of cases? I couldn't blame them people. They just walk out and say, let them go. They're trying and losing their medical staff with the virus too, and that's terrible to me. These people out front, like these doctors, these nurses, are trying to take care of these people that comes in there, and they don't take heed to try to keep from coming in there. I couldn't blame them if they just walk out and say, hey, take it over yourself and see how far you get. But I don't know. We could talk about it all day and still probably wouldn't make that much difference.
I know. It is certainly a sticky situation. There is no doubt about that.
Scott, I'm getting old, already old. What bothers me is some people, especially the kids. Now, they're talking about opening daycare, and they're talking about trying to get school started back again. That really and truly is not left up to the kids because they don't understand it. And it would break my heart to see kids affected. You know what I'm saying? And if they start daycare, especially daycare, these little ones, Lord, I don't know how they're going to stop that. I mean, they come in together and they go back out and get to their parents together, and then they come back again. I can't see the daycare opening, period. Not with this virus going around. It's not what the kids is going to get in there while they're there, but they're going to go back home and they don't know what they're going to get there and take back, and vice versa. If one affected kid can get in a daycare with their needed together, they're all going to have it. And then they go back home and they give it out there. So that would be devastating, I think, if they would really open a daycare center. I don't know how they would really even think about it. They could probably control the kids while they're in there. But when they go back home and then come back again, backers and forwards, so, you know, I don't know. But hey, now you got a sentence that you want to come up with, but I got one more. Whenever you get through there, if you let me get in there.
Oh no, yeah, you're certainly welcome. All I was going to say was, I talked to a daycare provider yesterday, somebody who runs a daycare here in Marion, and she said that they're looking for all kind of alternatives for what to do and how other states are doing it. So I know that these professionals are working on it, and that's a very good thing. And they've got a little bit of time before the 31st, so we all hope that it just turns out for the best.
It boils down, the biggest part of it boils down to the home life. What the parents does with the kids while they're not in daycare. And what they bring in home when they're not in daycare. And all of these concerns us all, not just a few. You know what I'm saying? We all got to take a hand in it. The kids don't have a chance unless we take a hand in it too. You understand what I'm saying?
We all got to be involved.
Yeah. Now, getting back to the, I'm going to get back, that's enough of that. Somebody else may want to get in. Fishing.
Scott, oh, fishing, yes.
I went fishing yesterday, okay?
Oh, you did?
I fish out of Indian Lake. That's where I go fishing through it all the time. I won't go fishing by myself. That's out of the question. I just will not go. I love to go fishing here around about. But 99% of the time, if I go, I have to go by myself, and I won't go by myself. Okay? But I went to Indian Lake yesterday. I had a guy with me. He went with me. And I love to fish over there, and I fish on the south shore. If you ever go over there, they're south, and they're northeast, west. But the wind was coming out of south. And you're on the south shore, it ain't bothering you. It's at your back. You get on the west side, it's pretty well at your back. But you go on the east side or the north side, it's coming right at you, okay? So we put in on the south side at the handicap. I got a handicap sticker. I can't get around very good. We put in on the west side or south side. All the water was, it was real calm. Clear, it was just as clear as it could be, just like a swimming pool. And looked up and down east and west, I could see, you know, if anybody fishing, I could tell. Nobody. Not a person. I said, this is not good. This is not good at all. And the fish is biting, they're about 3 foot on center, both ways, really. I said, this is not good. And we sat there from 8 o'clock yesterday morning until 12 o'clock yesterday noon. Not a nibble. Now, that was strange. But anyway, they wasn't doing nothing. So we went around and curved back over on the north side to State Park, northeast side. And that, by the time we got around there, see, the wind was coming right at us. That water, that wave, you know, jumping up two feet. And we put in there, got in the water there. We're fishing for the bank, okay? And it was rough as a cob. And we caught five. I fished for sawgout. We caught five sawgout. Out of a five, we only got to keep two of them. You got to be 15 inches. You can't keep them. And that storm that came in, we looking back towards the west. That's where it came from, out of the west, southwest, more or less, northwest, both. It was a long way. Seen that big dark cloud coming across through there, and I said, that ain't looking good. It was way back, I said. We see way back. I said, that don't look good. And I said, fish, they just quit biting all of a sudden. I said, this ain't good either. Something's not right. And I don't know whether fish can tell whether storms are coming or not, but apparently they can. Apparently they can.
They were ready for it.
And they, I tell you, I think the fish... These got more sense you think now. They can tell about the weather. But anyway, they just pretty much clear quit. I mean, just that was it. I said, this ain't right either. And we see them big dark clouds are coming up towards the west. Let's get out of here. We put our stuff in the truck. Which the truck's sat right close to us. And a guy was sitting there watching us, and he come up by us, and he said, hey, you guys leaving just at the right time. And he showed us, he had a phone, he could pick the weather up on it. He said, look at these storms coming here. I said, yeah, look back, there they come. He said, yeah, there they come. And we got high till that, and we were going to come back east, going towards the east. See, that storm coming from the west. I said, we beat it a ways. I don't know whether you ever been over or not, but that storm caught up with us. We were out running quite a ways, but that storm caught up with us in Mount Victory.
Mm.
You know where Mount Victory is?
I do that. Well, that was quite a storm yesterday.
Yeah, it caught up with us right there. And boy, it cut a rusty all the way to Lay Room, man. It got all the way into Marion. Just cut a rusty. I said, we made it half the way home. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, son. And I thank you for letting me talk on.
No, you call in anytime you like, and it sounds like maybe I'll head over to Indian Lake. I like that area. That might be a good area to go fishing. Real quick before I let you go, what do you use for bait? Do you just use worms?
Minnies. You use minnies or do jigging. A lot of people do jigging. They won't bother about getting bait, see? But minnies, I fish from a bank. I don't have a boat. And if fish are biting about anything at all, there'll be a lot of boats out, and they move. And that's what's called trolling, Scott. And they will pick them up that way. A lot of people do. But I'm a bank fisherman because I don't have no boat. I ain't got nobody to help me with it, so what's need that? You can't handle a boat on it by yourself, putting it in and putting it out. If you catch a fish, where's the boat? Who's going to operate the boat? You know, so... It's difficult for one guy to fish unless he's just going to jig and release and so on and so forth. And Indian Lake, that's what I do. You go out and pull up your laser board, sure, or whatever you want, and put your pole in the water and sit there and wait for it to catch a fish. Just relax. Just relax, man.
That's what. Well, maybe I'll head over there tomorrow. I hear the weather's supposed to be nice. Maybe that'll be my Saturday activity.
Now, Scott, if you're fishing anywhere, you're fishing along the banks, if you're going to fish for the bank, look where the crowd is and look where they're not. If they're biting, there'll be people there, I'm telling you. And if they're not, they won't be nobody. I mean, if you go over very much, you'll find that out. I've been going there for years, and if there ain't no people, they're not biting very good, I'm telling you. That's where they're at.
Well, that is definitely a good tip. Hey, I appreciate it.
Okay, hey, somebody else trying to get in us.
Thank you.
Talk after later. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The upcoming fishing trip. Now, maybe Indian Lake. I like the Indian Lake area. I have some relatives who live over there in the little area of Indian Lake, and that might be a good place to go. Now, thank goodness my Diet Coke has arrived after the debacle this morning at McDonald's, which I still don't know what that was. Now, nobody has told me, do they sell Dr. Pepper at McDonald's? They might. Now, I think they do sell Mr. Pibb. We have learned that, because I believe Mr. Pibb is a Coke product. I don't know. If anybody has anything to say off of what the caller just said there about the whole COVID mess and opening of daycares and pools and so on and so forth, let me know, 740-383-9944. What kind of sauce is on mincemeat pie? Did anybody ever figure that out? We've heard about rum sauce, brandy sauce this morning, but what are the other sauces that are out there? Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes.
I want to talk about, like, on what the man was talking about. Is anybody really scared about a second wave? Like, as the government says that it consists of people that work in fast food restaurants and things like that to encourage their employees to keep a mask on, is without saying that. But when you're out and about in these grocery stores, you don't see that. And then they don't know if they want to open up pools or Pee Wee League sports for kids now, but if they go ahead and do keep opening up little bit by little bit, is that not the government giving us a chance to go ahead and wipe ourselves out again?
Well, that becomes the question. You know, I mean, we start today with the hair salons and the barbers and the outdoor eating. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We know the daycares open up on the last day of the month, I believe, and I think we have the indoor dining on the 25th, and the pools open up at the end of the month. So, end of the month of May, we're going to know the answer to that.
Yeah, and that's what I just don't get. Like, I think we already do know the answer. They try to say that this came from China from the beginning on the first wave, but as you can think about it, I lost a grandparent that I feel like had the same symptoms and everything, that she could not breathe, and they diagnosed her with pneumonia. And then I'm taking my oldest little girl, Emaya, day in to the hospital. And this is over in Moore County at this point in time. And I remember the doctor looking at me and saying, how long has she been sick? And I said, well, I just picked her up from her mom's this week, and just, you know, she seemed like she was a little ill. And they put her on steroids. And for the same thing, for a month. And here with a month, you just don't know. You have it just comes in and out of nowhere. So you put all these people around each other, and they're just going to know that they don't know, or they do know that they got it. You just don't know in the end.
Well, that's true, and I guess we can just hope for the best at this point. I think the government, if something bad happened or the numbers took a significant increase, I think they would make changes. I think now they're just scared. You know, we got 14.7% unemployment, the highest since the Great Depression. People can't seem to get into the unemployment department to get their money, and I think there's a big worry, and there's some bills being voted on today in Washington. I don't know if they're going to pass or not. I think the one is not going to pass. I don't know about the other one. So I don't know if there'll be another stimulus. It's all up in the air at this point, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Okay, sir. Hey, my friend Sarah, I ride the bus on the south side. She drives the south side bus for Marion. She says she wants the recipe of that macaroni and cheese.
I'm working on the macaroni and cheese recipe. I'll get that out there. Well, enjoy your trip. Well, how many people are on the bus this morning there with you?
Right now, it's just me and her. It was just five of us, and we have these debates and listen to you every day. And thanks to the bus driver, we love her. We thank her very much. But she was like, "Well, come on, won't you just be the voice of the bus?" So we'll call in more and more every day when we're having these daily debates, and you will be able to hear at least five of us still. You know, and that's more for the radio and for the world to know.
Well, I love that the people are listening on the bus. I enjoy that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a good day.
A traveling phone call there, a rolling phone call as the bus rolls through Marion. And we'll get that macaroni and cheese recipe out today before we're done. Now, remember, I'll be on through 1 o'clock this afternoon because Charlie is out right now. So I will be on for him from 10:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. And then doing the Exchange Club today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. Again, the phone lines are open 42 and a half minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. Talking about the sauce that you put on mincemeat pie, rum sauce, brandy sauce. Those are some guesses we have had. I don't remember what it was when it came in at Christmas. I remember we had the mincemeat pie. Charlie and I did, but I don't remember which kind of sauce it was. I know there was a sauce, but I don't know which one it was. I will give the macaroni and cheese recipe as the morning goes on, and maybe it was Mr. Pibb this morning. But if anybody has anything to say in regard to these openings and coronavirus and pandemics and the changes that will go on today and in the remaining 16 days of this particular month of May, let me know. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I certainly know that there is concern, that you cannot say that there's not concern about a lot of these places opening. And remember, we learned earlier in the week from Tracy Kinsler that if you go to the barber, which I know a lot of people will be doing today, you're going to have to wear a mask. And I don't know that barbers are going to be supplying masks. Maybe some are not. But you have to wear a mask in the barber because it's such close quarters, which is odd because when the pool's open in less than 15 days, you're clearly not going to wear a mask in the pool. But that's the way it goes. And what will the numbers be at the pool? We don't know. Will cities open the pools? Will they contradict what the governor's saying? Is the governor just punting this decision to the cities to make these decisions? I don't know. It will be interesting as time goes by. Approaching 45 minutes past the hour. Again, the telephone line, if you have any questions, comments, or things you would like to say, anything is on the table. 740-383-9944 on this Getaway Friday, May the 15th, right in the middle of the month of May. But I thought it was interesting this morning. The front cover on the USA Today newspaper talked about how social distancing is in decline already, that people are already stopping doing that, which is kind of fascinating because we're not all that deep into this as of yet. Do you want to come give us an opinion on this? No? It's one of those heavy things, isn't it? We're going to go to a phone call here. Let's see what we got. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I had called earlier about the sauce for the mincemeat pie.
Yes, what is the sauce?
The sauce on the recipe that I located has butter, powdered sugar, egg whites, vanilla extract, rum, or brandy. So you can go either way on that. And as far as the mincemeat pie itself, the origin of it comes from England, tracing it back, I guess, to about the 13th century. It was considered a traditional holiday dessert and consisted of like shredded roast beef, and it had other ingredients such as butter, diced apples, raisins, brown sugar, currants, candied orange peel, lemon peel, lemon juice, vinegar, cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, ginger, coriander, and then some put brandy and rum into the filling itself. And I know my grandmother came over from England, and I guess that's why our family wound up having a lot of it during the holiday season.
Now, so there is dried fruit in there?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, I just remember I've never had mincemeat pie until last Christmas when I think the caller or the listener brought it in for Charlie, but we tried it together on the air, and I remember thinking this is going to be bad. It doesn't sound good, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was, but the sauce definitely helped, and now that I think about it, I think it might have been rum sauce.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do think you're. I don't think it was brandy sauce, although I can see why that would be put on there as well.
Yeah, I was not really a fan of the mincemeat pie when our family had it, so I wound up putting a little of the rum sauce on my mashed potatoes.
Oh, so you just dumped the rum sauce on the... Now, how was the rum sauce on the mashed potatoes? That's a little different.
Yeah.
You do what you can.
Right.
Hey, well, I thank you for those recipes. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Phone lines again are open, and that just shows you the myriad of things we're talking about this morning. You can talk about anything you like. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, we host these shows, but the airwaves are of the people. So you can talk about whatever you like within the guidelines of what you can talk about on the air. 740-383-9944. That's the only thing I remember about mincemeat pie, and I know I never had had it until last Christmas when the gentleman, and I wish I could remember his name, brought the homemade mincemeat pie in. I believe he generally brought it for Charlie, because Charlie was talking about not having it in quite a while. And I remember we both took a piece, and I just thought, this is going to be the most awful thing in the world. Meat in a pie, that does not sound good. Of course, Charlie had down like three pieces by that point, and the sauce made it better, I will say that, but it didn't taste as bad as I thought it would. Now, I think the dried fruit helped. There definitely is some kind of fruit in there. Oh, the other question we had this morning, rhubarb, because we got an email this morning from one of our listeners out there talking about strawberry rhubarb pie being their favorite pie. Now, does anybody have a good recipe for a rhubarb pie or a strawberry rhubarb pie? Because I would think rhubarb, which I can't remember ever tasting, to be honest with you, is not sweet. Because I think rhubarb is considered a vegetable. It's a big pink thing if you've never seen it fresh. And I would think that it doesn't... I just can't imagine that being very sweet. So, I don't know. What does fresh rhubarb taste like? Has anybody ever eaten fresh rhubarb? And do you have any good recipes for that rhubarb or strawberry rhubarb pie? I know strawberries are cheap right now if you go to the grocery store. Must be a mass quantity, mass production of strawberries going on right now. 740-383-9944. And again, do want to remind you, I will be filling in for Charlie next hour. 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon, and then from 12 to 1 today, 12:10 to 1 p.m. Now, we got about 10 minutes left here, so I could go into the macaroni and cheese recipe, but I might save that for next hour. I know the people on the bus are not going to be happy with that, but that'll make you stay tuned, so you'll have to stay tuned through the 10 o'clock break. You know what? No, I'll give it to you now. I won't make you wait. It's Friday. I'll be nice and give you the macaroni and cheese recipe. Okay, here's what you do. This is so simple, and I've added to this over the years, but your family will seem very impressed when you cook this, and I've never taken it to a cookout or a holiday party where people did not eat the whole thing. Now, here's what you need. And I guess you don't need Kraft, but I always buy Kraft. I think it tastes a little different than the generic macaroni and cheese. But just go to the store and buy about 4 boxes of whatever macaroni and cheese that you like. Don't buy any specialty kinds of macaroni and cheese, just the basic macaroni and cheese. I buy Kraft, but that's that. And then what you need is you need a bag of shredded mozzarella cheese, a bag of shredded American cheese, and a bag of shredded Colby cheese. What you do is you come home and you pour the contents of the and I'm talking about the instant macaroni and cheese, but you want to cook it on the stove. Get the pan out, boil the water like you normally do with macaroni and cheese, put the contents of the 4 boxes of the Kraft macaroni and cheese into the pan. Boil it, soften it up, and add the powdered cheese that's in the box. Make it just like you would make normal macaroni and cheese. So you got your normal macaroni and cheese cooked there now. Now take a casserole dish, glass, whatever you have. It doesn't have to be much bigger than the contents of what you have in the pan, because it's really not going to expand or anything of that nature. Take the macaroni and cheese that you just cooked on the stove and dump that into the casserole dish. Then you take your mozzarella cheese and you pour the whole contents of the mozzarella cheese bag, just the regular size, not the jumbo, on top of the macaroni and cheese. Then pour the American, then pour the Colby. And kind of take your hands, because the cheese will be dry, it won't melt right away, and just kind of mix it together to where you have a little bit of white, a little bit of, you know, the off-color yellow, a little bit of the other yellow, to where it looks nice on top. Then you set your oven to about 250. It doesn't have to be super hot, because all you have to do is melt the cheese here. Put the casserole dish in the oven and let the cheese melt. Now, you've got to watch this, because what you're going for here is the top of the cheese that you just put on to turn brown. That's how you will know when it's done. When it just starts to get golden brown, that's how you'll know when the macaroni and cheese is done. Now, you take that out, you take that to the party, and people will love that. Now, warm it up at the party you get to if you're taking it to somebody else's house, because eating it cold is not going to be all that great. But what it does is all that shredded cheese seeps into the instant macaroni and cheese. And most people like the instant macaroni and cheese, so they're already liking what you're giving to them, but that topping of Colby cheese, American cheese, and mozzarella cheese gives it such a completely different flavor and also a completely different texture than macaroni and cheese plain does, that people, I could not believe that, and still cannot believe that every party, holiday, cookout, whatever I've done, where I've prepared this, people always eat it all. Number one, people love macaroni and cheese. And number two, this is just a different thing. It's far more cheesier. It's not just that powdered cheese that you get in the Kraft box. Now, I do know somewhere right now, this is what I know for sure, right now, at 54 minutes past the hour, I know somewhere right now, Charlie Evers has an awful look on his face because he hates macaroni and cheese. I did not know this until recently, that Charlie hates macaroni and cheese. Now, I learned recently from one of his daughters, I can't remember if it was his daughter or his wife who told me this, but the reason, I never knew the reason that he hated it, but his mother, which obviously his kids and his wife knew, used to make really good macaroni and cheese. And apparently, when Charlie was young, she made quite a bit of macaroni and cheese, and it has just burnt him out on macaroni and cheese for the rest of his life. He does not want any more macaroni and cheese, which is interesting because everybody loves it. Even yesterday, I'll tell you, oddly enough, I was with some people, and the kids just wanted something to eat, a little snack. And what did they want? Macaroni and cheese. Everybody has those instant cups of macaroni and cheese. Everybody has the boxes. It's always a favorite, but not a favorite of some people. One of those being Charlie Evers, and the other being Jeff Ruth, that we found out this past holiday time that he was right in that boat with Charlie Evers on macaroni and cheese. And I don't know why. Jeff, what's your reason? Charlie doesn't like it because of his mother. Now, what happened to you? Did you have a traumatic macaroni and cheese experience?
I'm just not a big cheese eater.
At all?
No, not really. When I get like a pizza, I gotta get just, you know, little cheese on it. I don't like a lot of cheese. I was never a fan of cheese sandwiches, per se. Just never been a big cheese eater.
Now, do you like peanut butter?
I do like peanut butter.
See, peanut butter is the one I don't like, really? That everybody likes.
Yeah, I do like peanut butter.
I can eat a Reese cup, I can eat a Buckeye, but a peanut butter sandwich, or like peanut butter on celery, I can't even, yeah. No.
No, I'll eat peanut butter.
So you just don't have a like of cheese.
I've just never been a big cheese eater.
Well, see, it's funny to me because Charlie, I know, loves to go to the Swiss festival. I know he likes cheese quite a bit. And it was strange to me that he would not like macaroni and cheese. But I guess, I mean, Charlie's mother obviously was not being mean, but I guess it's just a traumatic experience that she cooked it so much.
My mother would once in a while, like, you know, cookies, you know, we'd have cheese sandwiches and tomato soup or something like that, and I was never a big fan of cheese. And American cheese I'll eat, but as far as a lot of the other cheeses, no, just never developed a taste for it.
I don't eat a lot of cheese, and to be honest, I really don't cook macaroni and cheese it's a blue moon when I do, but what I do have at home quite a bit is Colby cheese. I like the fresh Colby cheese, and I even like to melt that. A matter of fact, if I make a hamburger and want cheese on it, I will melt the Colby cheese on that, other than just the slices that you get from Kraft.
I went to Buffalo Wild Wings a couple weeks ago, and they had a cheeseburger, and I told them, just basically, give me the hamburger without the cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
You said forget the cheese on that one.
Yeah, I'd prefer a hamburger instead of a cheeseburger.
Maybe this is another macaroni and cheese disliker. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Jeff and Scott, how you doing this morning?
Good.
I'm good.
Yeah, I used to like macaroni and cheese quite a bit there. Up until this year, I mean, I don't eat it at all anymore. I just ain't got the stomach for it. I don't know what it is. It's like you say, after you eat it for so long, you just don't have a taste for it. And
kids love it.
Oh, yeah, they love it, but... Yeah, you know, and I used to eat it quite often, but you know, it's one of those things where after a while, you get tired of it, and then when you want it again, it just doesn't taste the same.
Now, is there any kind? Do you like cheese at all?
Oh yeah, I love cheese.
Oh, so you do like cheese? Okay.
I put it on my cheeseburgers and stuff like that. That's not a problem, but you know. I don't know. I threw boxes of macaroni and cheese away that it's set in the cupboard for, you know, 6-7 months. I threw them away. Because I just ain't got the stomach to have it.
Now, did you catch the big fish yesterday down in Delaware?
Yeah, no, I didn't catch big fish. I got down there 10 minutes in the fish, and then that big old storm hit. And after that, it settled down. I did okay, but not as good as past days. I don't know. Maybe the fish decide to take a break or something.
Well, good luck and keep on trying.
Oh, yeah. I'm going today. I'm going to try to pick a slot out of here where I can go where I'm not going to get rained on.
That's right. Avoid the rain.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
And again, I'll be filling in for Charlie today, 10 to 12, so don't go anywhere. And Exchange Club 12 to 1 today. And, I had something to say there. Maybe it'll come back to me in the 10-minute period.
Are you going to be doing trivia today?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do some trivia today during Charlie's show. Keep in tone and tune with everything we've been doing. And maybe we'll return to giveaways in the upcoming weeks. If everything opens back up and everything's fine, maybe we'll open back up the office here and start giving stuff away again. So we thank Jeff Ruth for joining us here and bringing me a soda this morning. And I'll be back in about 10 minutes with more programming here on WWGH Radio.
I do. And anyway, they were waiting for me. And he came up to me. He said, I want to tell you something. Did you know you made this? I said, well, I'm Ari, and I didn't realize my call was for later.